just want to say that I'm glad you're here. And I'm excited for a new series that we're going to start next week. Yes, Timothy is done after today. But next week we start a new series called Storyteller. And we're going to walk through the parables of Jesus. And next week's going to be called Lost and Found. So I'm excited about that. And as we conclude our series called Dear Tim, we've walked through the entire summer through 1st and 2nd Timothy. And I don't know about you, but there was times where I just felt like God was kind of just all up in my grill. And Timothy had some big, big shoes to fill, filling Paul's shoes, so to speak. And we talked all summer about the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. The second letter was just previous to his being executed by the Emperor Nero. And Paul is realizing that he is near the end, and he begins to really assess his life. And we know that he is lonely, but yet he's still leading and he's still fighting. And the reason we know he's lonely is because in verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, of chapter 3, it says, "The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me." And he's like, everyone abandoned me, right? He had his little Eeyore syndrome going a little bit right there. May it not be counted against them, right? So we know, and you can imagine, you're locked in prison, and you're by yourself. You know the end is coming, and you're by yourself. Nobody is bringing you food. Nobody's bringing you a pick-me-up bouquet. Nobody's bringing you a card. That'd be lonely times, right? And he pushes through it. And we've said again that Paul is in prison. He's waiting to be executed, but he's charging Timothy. He's walking through Timothy, or talking to Timothy. And he says this in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And I'm sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint. Hopefully you got a fill in the sheet thingy. But if you're a note taker, it says this: "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom, preach." Now here's the crazy thing about preach. I'm going to say proclaim, because what preach means isn't necessarily a pastor standing up here preaching a message. It means to proclaim in the Greek, right? So you all can proclaim the word of God. We're going to get there today. So I know you're all excited. But it says preach, or to proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, another word for encourage, with all long suffering, which is a Bible word for, you know, being, having endurance, being steadfast, right? So, and teaching. So he's telling Timothy, this is what he's charging him to do, right? And the church of Ephesus. So if you're a note taker, the first thing that we see there is that we all have a mandate from God to proclaim God's word to the world. That's not just Pastor Dave's job. That's not just, hey, guess who's back, guys? This is Mega. He's throwing stuff for the janitor to clean up. Okay, New Life kids, everybody say hi, Mega.
Hi,
how we doing? Good. Hey, you had some pretty good moves up there. I was digging it. So, for all you adults that don't know, this is Mega. All the adults say hi, Mega.
Hi, Mega.
He was the mascot for Mega Sports Camp, and he came out and did the kids' song. And he is fabulous. And Mega, so what are you doing? Just chilling? Yeah? Right on. Nice soccer jersey. Yeah, he got it from Aiden, our youth pastor. Yeah. I was just sharing with everybody that God has directed all of us to share God's word, the Bible, with the whole world. That's right. That's this. Do you have a Bible? Right there. Right on. Right on. We are all called to live the Word of God. We are all called to teach the Word of God, and we're all called to coach others in this life that we find in Scripture and the Word. The Bible calls us ambassadors to heaven. right? Ambassadors of heaven. Excuse me. So, you know what an ambassador is? No? Okay, anybody know what an ambassador is? Okay. What's an ambassador? He's doing the hokey pokey. I give up. Anybody know what he's saying? He's going out to proclaim. Yeah, there we go. Two words. He's doing it. Here we go. Come on. What? First word. First word. Walk. Go. No. Walk. The whole world. God. No. You're killing me. Church. House. Building. There we go. Somebody's got it. Building. I don't speak mega. Okay, go. Go to the building. Out of the building. There we go. Okay, that's what it is to be an ambassador. Let somebody help Mega out. What is meaning? What is an ambassador? Okay, representative. Yeah, Gabby. Say that really loud. Okay. A representative. Okay. Somebody else? We're getting there. Liko. Okay. Boom. There it is. Is that what you were saying? Well, okay. Gotcha. 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 So Liko was saying it's a representative that would travel to different places to represent a country. Okay. And it could be a business. It could be those kinds of things, but an ambassador, right? And the word tells us that we are ambassadors of heaven. That's our job. And he's going to help me out here. Okay. And the Bible, really instructs us to share, to truly share with others. But here's the thing that we got to understand. To truly share the gospel with other people, we need to understand the gospel, right? We need to have the Word of God in us. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to be able to share that. We need to be able to live it out, right? You know how to do that? You live it out. Three words. Walk. Run. Sleep. Okay. Walk, run, and sleep the Word of God, right? There we go. Right on. So the Bible says in chapter 3, Paul says that all of God's Scripture, all of God's Word is God-breathed, right? God-breathed. And it's the Bible. It is the breath of God in us and to us, right? So every time that we read, I don't know what he's doing, I'm afraid to look. Every time we read the Scriptures, we breathe the life of God into us. What are we doing, Mega? He's scaring me. Okay? We breathe it. Does that make sense? You struggling over there? Yeah, come here and I'll help you. Okay, I'm going to hold that. Are you going to put that on? I don't know what this... I think I'm following you. I think I'm following you. You want this? He looks like an alien. There. Up. There. So this is an oxygen tank, right? So what the Word of God is to us is the same as what oxygen is for the life. You following us? Is that what you're trying to illustrate? Yes. Okay. And you look scary. You look scary. Okay? What? Is he scary? Yeah. Right? He's going to fall. If you break it, you buy it. There. There. Here, go like this. This has got a seat belt. It's upside down. The pack's probably upside down. There we go. There's a seatbelt. So what oxygen is to us physically is what the Word of God is to us spiritually. You picking up what I'm throwing down this morning? Okay. Now, I don't know, but there might be some of you that are looking a little bit blue today. Maybe you need some oxygen. So you need some more Word of God in you. You're a little Word deprived. Okay, you've got to be in God's Word. You've got to know God's Word. You've got to be able to breathe in God's Word. It is the breath of life, right? Everybody give Him a round of applause for... So. Okay? This is good news that we've got to get a hold of. There's no shame in sharing the Word of God, but you can't share what you don't know, right? You got to be reading the Word of God. So, Mega, did you know that the world is hurting? The world is broken. You can take that off if you want. It's broken. It's wounded. It's depressed. And we have the answer, right? We have the answer in God, in the gospel, in God's word, in the cross. That's right. We have the answer. I want to read to you in verse 2. It says in the Amplified Version, everybody say goodbye, Mega.
Goodbye, Mega.
It says, preach the word as an ambassador. As bye, Mega. Don't fall. Okay. Preach the word as an ambassador, as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right, even when it's not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient. We need to be ready to share the love of Jesus. We need to be ready to share the gospel. Right? Now I have a secret for you. Let me read this scripture first in 2 Timothy 4:5. Paul says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You want to hear the secret? You guys want a secret? Craigie, you ready for the secret? You ready, Calvin? You ready, Alika? Lolo, you ready? New Life Kids, you all ready? We're saying, what's the secret, Pastor Dave? The secret is this. It's all of our job to do the work of evangelists. It's all of our job to share Jesus with those around us. All of us. Liko's, all of us. Right? Jace, Lolo, Ro, all of us. Ron, Chris, all of us. And you too, Rye, you too. Can't forget you. Okay? All are called to reach the lost. That even means Mega, right? Some of us are sitting here going, no, 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 Pastor, that's not my calling, right? That's not what I'm called to do. Well, we just read it in Scripture that that is what we're called to do. I believe God has people ordained specifically to cross your path that you can speak life to them, that you can speak the Word of God to them, that you can love them to Jesus. Some of us will be the only Jesus that people ever see in your workplace, your next door neighbor, the people behind you, the grocery store, wherever you are. You might be the only Jesus they'll ever see. You have to be the light. And here's the crazy thing, and I've thought about this a lot this week, but our disobedience doesn't stop God's move, but it sure can complicate things in life, right? I believe that God doesn't have a plan B. He has a plan A. And we're His plan A. But our disobedience can complicate God's plans and purposes. He has to raise somebody else up when He has called you to do it. When He's equipped you to do it. Right? Here's the thing. Here's a Bible head challenge. Where's my New Life kids? Get your Bibles out. You ready? We have got a Bible head challenge. And no, you don't get this. I'll explain that later. Okay. First two people to get their Bibles on their head and find this. Ready? Here it is. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. First two. First one gets a big candy bar. Second one gets a smaller candy. Boom. Ooh, 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 ooh. I think she got you sniped out. Right on. There you go. And then we got right over here. For if you're a guest with us, why we do this is it's important to teach our kids where to find things in the Word of God. Bible literacy. Bible literacy is important. Very, very important. Okay, here's what it says. It says, but how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is what the Scripture says. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. That's us. That's you. We bring the good news. Right? At New Life Fellowship Church, if you haven't figured it out yet, we preach the Word of God and we preach the whole Word of God. We're not going to back down on tough stuff. Okay? Trust me. I have been stretched beyond belief walking through 2 Timothy. And it is, we are going to preach the whole Word of God. We will encourage everyone to study the Word of God and to read the Word of God and have it inside of them to know why. Because it's one, it's the bread of life, right? But when Jesus went into the wilderness and tempted by Satan, He had just left 40 days of fasting, right? And here comes the devil to tempt Jesus. And he said, why don't you just turn that rock into bread? You know you're hungry. And what did Jesus respond? He responded with Scripture. And He said, man will not live on bread alone, but on the Word of God. Okay, you need to be eating the Word of God, not literally tearing it out, chewing it up, right? Because I know that's what you do, Marcus, right? But let it marinate in your soul. Get it inside of you. Understand. King David said in Psalm 119, 11, I hide your Word in my heart so I might not sin against thee. Okay? We got to be in the book, y'all. Okay? We need to be reading. Freedom. What's freedom? Freedom. What does it mean? Peace. Absence of what, Carrie? Bondage. Allie, do you have an answer? You're just stretching. Okay. What's freedom, Gabby? To be free, right? We believe when an individual lives and embraces and reads and feeds on this book right here, this will set you free. This is freedom. It's not a book of do's and don'ts. It's a book of do's. If you do what God says, you'll have freedom. If you do what God says and live what He instructs us to live, you'll be free. Right? Notice how the word is to be used in the second part. It says this. This is what the Bible is to be used for. To correct. Right? Those who err in doctrine or behavior. To correct. Okay? To warn those who are living in sin. To exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity. The inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching of the Word. That's what the Word of God's for. Okay? The second thing, if you're a note taker, is the Bible is our blueprint for life. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's our blueprint for life. That's right. Now, here's the thing. That can only happen if you're making the Bible a daily habit. Okay? I don't need to hear Siri. Okay? It actually drives me nuts. I push the button when I move, and it talks back at me. Okay? We've got to stop. Listen, this might step on toes. You got to stop giving your opinion on social media of what you think's going on. Okay? We should be asking, what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? It is actually crazy. I was showing some people this week. I was at a pastor's event for Convoy of Hope this last week, and somebody was talking about the Commonwealth Games. Anybody know what the Commonwealth Games are? It's like a miniature Olympics, right? It's held in Great Britain, and their opening ceremony had a bronze bull, a giant bronze bull pulled in by women, and they were worshiping this bronze bull. If you don't believe me, look it up on YouTube. And you'll hear all kinds of opinions. Right? You'll hear all kinds of opinions. But what does the Bible say? Okay? We talked about in chapter 3 just last week that we are in the last days. Right? And there's going to be perilous times. What does that mean to us as Christ followers? What does it mean? Okay? We need to be watchful. But we don't need to be caught up in all the garbage. We need to be focused on what we're supposed to be doing. And that's being the light of Jesus to a lost world. So they can hear the gospel. So they can have eternity in heaven with God. Picking up what I'm throwing down? We kind of get, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. The Bible leads, the Bible guides, the Bible shapes, the Bible molds. Okay? We need to be ready in season, out of season, Paul says. In the Greek, that means to stand your post. Okay? Stand your post in good times or bad. Okay? Why was Paul telling Timothy that? Well, we've talked about that a little bit. That was happening with great, great persecution from Emperor Nero in Rome, right? Because he blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians. I mean, it wasn't the Christians, but he blamed them and he was killing them. And Timothy and the church were starting to back off and stop sharing Jesus because they were afraid, right? And then we got that scripture where Paul tells Timothy and the church of Ephesus, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, right? He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You guys following me? Do I need to walk back here more? Okay. This is good stuff. We got to grab a hold of this, y'all. This is good stuff. We need to be in the Word of God more now than ever before. We need to stay faithful and loyal and stop flip-flopping around in our spiritual walk. The Word is to be a foundation. And we sang about a foundation this morning, didn't we? Being a foundation of who and what we do as a church, who and what we do as a Christ follower, as an individual, as our families. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Whew, I'm getting ready. Okay, you guys ready? Let's keep reading. Another Bible head challenge. We got another Bible head challenge. Kids, you ready? Man, I got all kinds of sugar. Good thing we have a church picnic coming up. Right? You guys ready? Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Boom. We got one right here. Here, you got to share. There's two. And then there was one right here, right here, right here, right here. I think it was with boys. You go, there we go. Cool. I have this philosophy that I learned in youth ministry years ago. What gets rewarded gets repeated. Right? I don't care if I have to give them candy to get them in the Word of God. If we do it long enough, they'll stay in the Word of God. And they'll have energy enough to stay in the Word of God. Right? All right, here's what 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 says. Kids, follow along. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's they? The church, Christians. This is what he's talking about, right? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So what's happening? What's happening then? Is the same thing that we're dealing with today, right? People are turning away from sound doctrine. They like to hear the things that they're itching ears, like all the good stuff, right? They only wanted to hear the things that they feel was going to meet their desires. Which brings us to number three. We must choose spiritual growth over comfort. Sometimes a word of God's going to kick us in the teeth. That's that corrective piece, right? It's correcting a wrong behavior or correcting a wrong direction. It's like this. I love Jesus, but if I'm off one degree in my doctrine and an understanding of who God is, where does that lead years from now? You following me? One degree off now takes you a long ways away down the road. We got to be in the Word. And we got to choose spiritual growth over comfort. The Bible is here to make you better, not comfortable. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, the Bible's here to make you better, not comfortable. You turn back to that neighbor and say, here, this is for growing and stretching you. Too many Christians view the Bible as a buffet. Come on. A buffet. You know what you do at a buffet, right? I like buffets. I don't miss very many of them. COVID kind of killed the buffet. But you can pick and choose what you want, right? I don't like liver and onions, but I'm going to come over here and get that wonderful looking piece of pie. I don't like this. I don't like vegetables. I know people that won't eat green vegetables. Like green's evil. I don't know. But they won't eat a green vegetable. They'll eat ones with color. Green's color, right? I don't get it. But there are too many of us pick and choose what we believe in the Bible or what we're going to read and focus on in the Bible. Right? That isn't what it's about, y'all. And I know you guys don't worry about this. You guys are like, you guys are amazing. I've got the best church family in the world. Okay? But they treat it like a buffet. They pick and choose what they like and don't like. Too many Christians have a sweet tooth. Where'd that go? I don't know about y'all, but I love Nutella. Anybody like Nutella? So when you go to Europe, you can't find peanut butter. All they have is Nutella. Okay? And sometimes us Christians get a sweet tooth. Oh, no. That ain't ooh. Who wants some? Hey, you can have one. Take a little spoonful. Take a spoonful. I got to go back in the back, too. You can share with your brother. Take a spoonful. Yeah. Sweet tooth. Sweet tooth. Where's some of my... You got a sweet tooth? Well, let's go. Let's get a couple of teenagers. Get it. Here we go. I only had 4 spoons. Don't judge me. I love you. We'll get more spoons afterwards. You guys can sit around the church picnic and eat Nutella. Right? Thank you. Cool. Got a sweet tooth. What does that mean? Let me read that passage of scripture again. And this is a plug for Nutella. It's really good on pancakes, just so you know. Let me read it out of the Message version. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Listen, you guys ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. It says, you're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. Here's the thing about the Word of God. We don't get to pick and choose, right? We learned early on that this is God's Word to us. God breathed, right? Every time we're in the Word of God, we are breathing in God. We are bringing and taking in God, right? This is His voice, His Word, His speaking to us. Anytime that you want to hear from God, open up the Bible. It's His Word to you, right? Got to be in the Bible. We don't get to pick and choose. Just like at a buffet, we don't get to do that. We got to have a balanced diet, okay, in the Word. We become lopsided when we only eat on certain kinds of Scripture. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Scripture's like this. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because those Christ Jesus in the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin of death. That's pretty cool, huh? I like that. I could read that a lot. Or how about this one? Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, for I will help you. Pretty good stuff, right? Now that's good stuff. I'm not, or how about this one? Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Okay? Hear me. I'm not saying that those aren't good scriptures to know and to wrap your life around and to understand. Okay, those are great. Don't get me wrong. But what happens when that's all you eat is that you become a fat, lazy Christian. Pastor, you're stepping on my toes. No. You don't put that on me. That's God. If God isn't stepping on our toes once in a while, we're not standing close enough to Him. Come on. That's just the way that it is. Okay? Well, this is what happens when we just eat a diet of that. Okay, you can go to YouTube and find someone to teach the truth that will appease your conscience. That's easy. YouTube's full of it. Okay? According to their desires and lusts, it says, look for someone to scratch their itch. Come on, if that's you, let the Word of God correct that. They become unbalanced. If all you focus on is Philippians 4:19, you will become an unbalanced Christian. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3 says, dear brothers and sisters, this is Paul again. When I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I have to talk to you as you belong to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. He's talking to a church in Corinth, okay? I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. Boom shakalaka, there it is. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by the sinful nature? Aren't you living life like people of the world? And you're sitting there maybe saying, but pastor, can't you just preach the promises of God? Yeah, I could. Not that holiness stuff. Not that godly living stuff. That's too hard. Preach the promises, pastor. Dessert is good, right? I know. Okay? Dessert is good, but we need our vegetables. We need stuff like love your enemies. We need stuff, prayer for those who spitefully use you. We need feed the poor. Love your wife like Jesus loved the church. Come on, men. Forgive as Jesus forgave you. Come on, everybody. Be generous and bless others because you were blessed. We need some of that. Set yourself apart and be holy. We need some of that. Be godly because I am godly. Be a Christ follower. What does Christ follower mean? I'm spitting all over the place. In the Greek, it means little Jesuses. As a Christian, you're a little Jesus. You're mini me to Jesus. That's what it is, right? We need to have a balanced diet. And we need to have grace. Jude 1:4 says, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. 1 Peter 2:16, for you are free, yet you are God's slave. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Romans chapter 6 says, should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? By no means. Just because God give us grace doesn't mean we have a blank check of grace to be able to live whatever lifestyle we want to live and still call Jesus, Jesus. That ain't it. That dog don't hunt. We need the Word of God to correct us, to rebuke, to train us up, right? Grace empowers me, not entitles me. You need your veggies. You need fruit. You need meat. Come on. Ooh. And taters. We must choose correction over entertainment. Can we move on? Let's move on. You guys are like, I can't wait to get out of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For I am already being poured out, Paul says, as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knows that he's going to die. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Fighting the good fight. What is that? What does that look like for us? What is fighting the good fight? Anybody have any ideas? Okay, what does that look like today? Okay, believing God in every area of your life. Any other thoughts? What does it look like? Fight the good fight. Okay, what's that? I heard somewhere up here. Don't give up. That's a good one too. Okay. Not being of this world. What does that mean? Being separated. Does that mean that we need to go buy a commune somewhere and circle up behind fences? What does it mean? Good fight. This is what it means. You ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. This is number 4 on your sheet if you're a note taker. Fight for the right things. Things that will advance the purpose of God for your life and for others' lives. Fulfill your ministry, right? We already learned that you're called to do the work of an evangelist. You're called to share the faith. What does that look like? How does that work? What's your purpose in life? Your purpose in life is more than just going to work, getting a paycheck, going home, going to the lake, having fun in the lake, going back to work, working 40 hours a week, going home, mowing the lawn, changing diapers. It's more than that. As if that's not enough, right? We are called to be the light, the salt and the light. Okay? Fulfill the things that matter. Fulfill the purpose of God and the mission that He has called you to do. Too many fight for things that don't help their purpose and aren't part of God's mission. Right? We fight for some pretty crazy things, right? How much time do we waste spinning our wheels and worrying about things that don't affect us? Guilty. How many of us waste energy on things that are not our fight? Guilty. And I can go on and on. How do we fight? We walk in the authority and power of God that He gave us. That's how. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10, 13 says this. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Listen, the only way that we can be defeated is by quitting or giving up. Right? He has made us more than conquerors. Right? We've heard that scripture before. Okay? There is no condemnation in Christ. We just heard that one too. Okay? The only way that we lose is by quitting or walking away and giving up. Paul is saying, keep fighting. I'm almost done, y'all. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, it says, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand firm, be standing firm. Finish the race. Finish the race. Okay? Ultimate success in completing life's mission. Okay? Paul's like, I'm at the end of my life. And he's looking back at his life and he says, I have no regrets. No regrets. I fought the good fight of faith. I'm finishing the race and I know where I'm going. Okay? He was a drink offering being poured out, he said. Finish the race. It's easy to start, right? How many of you guys remember right after you accepted Jesus as your Savior? How many remember that? Raise your hand. Life was pretty good, wasn't it? Pretty good. It was good, right? You were on cloud 9. You were like, man, this is easy peasy lemon squeezy, right? No cares. You were like, boom, right? It's just like a diet. A diet. How many have ever been on a diet? Okay? It's kind of easy the first couple days. Then it gets hard. Diets suck. Right? Okay? Check this out. In Scripture, only 1/3 of the leaders in the Bible finished well in the will of God. 1/3. 2/3 did not finish well. Read them. Read the Scriptures. 2/3 did not finish well. Okay? For example, Moses started off strong. Right? Did he get to go into the promised land? He got to see it. But he didn't finish off well. Right? He didn't finish well. Okay? What is your life purpose and mission? You ever thought about that? What has God created you to do? Did He just create us just because He thought it would be fun to watch us like we watch ants running around? I think sometimes we think that. He has a purpose for us. Why are you here? Few finish well. Everyone starts a diet to win. Everyone starts a new job and it's good, and they're going to kill it. They're going to be the CEO in a year. Everyone starts strong in their commitment to Jesus. But opposition does not start at the starting line. Opposition starts down the road, right? All of us are tempted to quit. Man, I can't tell you how many times that I have been tempted just to quit ministry. Because it's hard. It's hard dealing with people. When you deal with people, it's messy. Why? Why is it messy? Because we all have stuff, right? We all have issues. And everybody expects the preacher to fix it. It's not my job to fix it. It's right here. It's God's job. And if we were to be in the Word of God, we'd start to understand some of this stuff. Right? Our determination to finish must be greater than our desire to quit. Okay? Avoid distractions to keep you from finishing. The disciples faced the storms, right? You all know the story when they were in the boat, right? They were ready to quit. They were ready to jump out. They were going to die. And Jesus says, come on, y'all. Speaks to the wind and the waves. Calm. Right? We serve a God that does that. Let's look at King David. Check this out. Acts chapter 2. We're almost finished. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 and verse 36. King David. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And then verse 36, this is not a reference to David, for after David had done the will of God in his generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. Okay? It's not about how long you live, is what this is saying. But did you fulfill the purpose that God put in your life? That's the question. That's what he's talking about right there. Is it wasn't a matter how long David lived. Did he do what God told him to do? Was his mission, right? What did you get accomplished in the time that you were here on earth? Those that died young, we all know the story. John the Baptist finished what God had asked him to do, and he was martyred by King Herod. Dr. Martin Luther King, how many know that name? Okay? Anybody know what age he was assassinated? He was 39. That was 51 years ago. Look at what his life mission accomplished in our nation. He died young. Okay? His life was cut short by the voices, but his voice still speaks 51 years later. His life, his legacy, still brings change to civil rights in America. Jesus, John 17, 4, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Another Biblehead challenge. Kids ready? If you already won, you can't compete. Ready? Get your out. Philippians 1, 6. Philippians 1, 6. I'm going to give the top four. Top four. One, two, three. Got one more. Catch. Got one more. And one more. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. Grandma Deb's helping. There we go. That's perfect. We like it. That's what grandmas are supposed to do. Okay. Here it is. Philippians 1:6 says this. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it out to completion come the day of the Lord Jesus. It will finally finish on the day when Jesus Christ returns. I am confident. This is one of those promises, right? I am confident that he who began a good work in we will carry it out to completion. God ain't done with you yet. Woo! Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad for that. Number six, keep the faith. Live with no regrets. Too many people reach the end of their life with a would-haves, should-haves, could-haves. Anybody struggling with that right now? I wish I had. I wish I wouldn't have. Anybody been there? I'm the only one. Perfect. I know that we have all had our fair shares of that. I wish my life wasn't a lie. I wish my life wasn't this. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Right? We're all full of it. Here's the thing. I'm going to dare you. You ready? I dare you to dream your biggest dream and put a mustard seed of faith in the ground and watch what God can do. Watch what God can do. Because big dreams are God dreams, right? If we dream stuff that we can attain ourselves, not really a big dream. That's just a to-do list. Dream big. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you can turn a situation around. You can get a degree. Make up with your father or your mother or call your sister. Run a marathon for all you crazy people. Start the new business, whatever it is. But we've got to ask some tough questions. Like, did I give my very best in whatever I put my hand to? Did I love unconditionally? How many of us have broken relationships in here? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. There's broken relationships. Relationships that aren't what they were supposed to be. Maybe a brother, a sister, mom and dad, maybe a cousin. I don't know. Best friend. Raise your hand. I want to see. Here's a question to ask yourself. Ready? Did I love unconditionally? Did I? Oh my gosh. That's a tough question. Stay true to your faith in Christ, because He is the rock of your salvation. When the battle is over, can you truly say, I have fought the good fight of faith? Yes, we all get tired. Paul said, I'm torn between the two. More beneficial for me to stay. Paul was ready to go, right? He didn't want to die, but he knew it was coming. But there's too many of us that throw in the towel. We're like, we're done. Can I just plead with you for a second and say, please, please keep the faith. Please, there's coming days that it's not going to be popular to be a Christian. They're coming. They've been promised in Scripture. They're coming. But I don't know about you, but when I hit my finish line, I want no regrets. Or regrets. No regrets at the finish line. Paul describes it here in the next verse. And let me wrap up with this last verse in our series. Can I get a whoop whoop? There we go. What was it at Mega? It was two claps and a Ric Flair. Woo! 2 Timothy 4:8 says this. Paul is saying, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. So number 7 is we got to keep our eyes on the prize. Right? Keep our eyes on the prize that drives us through the pain of today. Couple scriptures and then I'll pray. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, love this. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Let me jump to Philippians 3:14. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Timothy, please come to as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books and especially my papers. Okay? He's talking to them, right? Then he jumped down. The first time I was brought before the judge, this is in Philippians, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And He rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Stand with me if you will. Let's pray. Then we're going to sing a closing song. And then I want to encourage you, go home, bring a salad or a dessert and chairs and come into the barbecue. We're going to have a good time. Jesus, thank You for Your word. Heavenly Father, Your word that is God-breathed and it's useful for correction, rebuking, encouragement, teaching. Help us, Lord, to be lovers of Your word, to be in it on a regular basis, to read the word, to live the word, to teach the word. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, that like David prayed, help us to hide Your word in our heart that we might not sin against You. Help us, Lord, to be the salt and the light in a dark world. And the only way that that happens is by being in Your word and letting the word come alive through us. Help us, Lord God. Be glorified in everything that has been done and said today. Be glorified in our singing. Be glorified in Your word. And let us just have a great afternoon today, Lord, in fellowship, connecting with one another at the park. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.